Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with. Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a tornado warning, and I love films. As Steve Jobs once said, stay hungry, stay foolish, stay through the closing credits of St. Francis for the bonus material. Haha, there isn't any. Wow, what a prankster that Steve Jobs was. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Sharon Stone, Kevin Smith, Ricky Gervais, and even Brad Pambles. But this week, it is the frankly brilliant actor, Kyle Smith-Bynoe. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get about 20 extra amazing minutes with Kyle, where you'll get chat about the openings and closings. You get a secret. You get the whole episode uncut and ad-free. You get it as a video. You get archive stuff. You get all sorts of brilliance. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Your two TV missions at the moment from me are to watch season 1 of Ted Lasso on the Apple TV Plus app and season 1 of Soulmates on Amazon Prime. One will make you incredibly happy, the other will make you question your very relationship. So, Kyle Smith-Bynoe is a hilarious and frankly amazing actor who is in nearly all of the great British comedies of the last few years. He's in Ghosts, he's in Enterprise, he's in Friends of the Podcast, Statlets Flats. I think he's brilliant. We recorded this over the internet while he was overseas filming an episode of Death in Paradise. I was in the attic in London in the cold. He was sat outside in the blazing sun. He looked like he was having a very nice time. I hope there wasn't a problem with the wind. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter because I think this is a really good episode. It was really, really funny and he was very deep. It was great. I loved it. And I think you will too. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 135 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an actor, a writer, a performer of comedy, a show creator, a show runner, a man surrounded by ghosts, a man who likes to sell flats, one of the funniest people currently on British TV. Please welcome to the show the brilliant Kyle Smith-Bynoe.
Yo, what lovely! That is a lovely introduction.
Now, Kyle is in you're in Guadeloupe.
I am in Guadeloupe. Yes.
Can you tell us why? What have you done? He's escaped.
So I am in Guadeloupe currently. I'm filming Death in Paradise. I get to play a bad guy, which is fun. Haven't done that in a while. And I'm out here for 3 weeks and I'm filming for 4 days.
I love it.
So I'm spending a lot of time on the beach. Learning my lines.
Learning your lines and shit. Yeah. Do you know anyone else out there? Anyone in the cast or anything? Or are you all having to be separate?
No, we're all together. I mean, we had to do about 11 COVID tests before we got out here. So everyone is, they're like, what pandemic? It's great.
I mean, for those of you who are just listening, I'm looking at Kyle. I mean, it's a joke. What I'm looking at, he's got fucking blue skies. He's got a tree behind him. He's wearing a Hawaiian type shirt. He's got sunglasses on. He looks like he's having a lovely time. He looks like he's going, what pandemic?
It doesn't look like I'm working, to be fair.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like I'm working until I get a 5 a.m. pickup tomorrow.
Are you, when you say you're the bad guy, do you mean you're the killer? What done the death in paradise?
No, I'm not a killer. Or am I?
Do you get killed?
I don't get killed. But I'm a suspect. So I might be the killer.
Who is Mr. Death in Paradise now?
Ralph Little.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We had a kick about last night.
He's good on the ball.
He is, yeah.
Do you play on the beach?
No, there's like football courts behind the tennis courts, behind the pool. It is ridiculous.
It's like you're on a fucking 18 to 30s. <That's
great. laughs> Yeah, it is ridiculous.
We're doing diving contests, cocktails.
Yeah, jumping in waterfalls.
Kyle, we've never really had a chance to talk, but I've been a big fan of yours. I particularly think you are stunning. Can I say that? Stunning in Stafflet's flats, which I was about to say, you know, the hugely underrated Stafflet flat, as if it didn't win a shit ton of BAFTAs. You know, so underrated. It's such a good show, and I'm delighted to hear you're doing more of them, unless you've heard something I haven't heard.
No, we are.
We're good.
Doing another one, yeah. Yeah. I'd kick off if we weren't.
Yeah.
Massively. I'd be outside Channel 4, like, protesting.
Yeah. I'd join you, actually. And you've got what? Ghosts coming out?
Ghosts is out. The second series is out. And then we start filming series 3 in February.
Here's my question then. So you've done all this brilliant comedy acting. I don't know much about your background. Did you do stand-up? How did you get into all this?
Oh, no. I went to drama school. And then I simultaneously made YouTube videos. So I did the proper way. The training and all that shit, yeah. And jazz hands and singing, dancing, acting, commedia dell'arte, all that shit.
Yeah.
And then I also just did some silly voices on YouTube. And then both of those sort of helped, but I don't know which one helped more, to be fair. But I did a lot of my own, like, YouTube videos, and my friends were doing YouTube videos, and I was always just jumping in and, like, happy to turn up and do whatever. Sometimes we didn't even have a script. We were just like, we'll see what we think of, or see what locations we can find, and then we'll just film something.
Love it.
So yeah, did a lot of that, and then that got the attention of some producers who introduced me to Kayvon Novak, who put me in a few things and a few pilots and brought me in a few writers' rooms. So yeah, both of those helped, I guess. But no, I've never done stand-up. I've done improv.
Yeah.
And I've been a part of like 2 improv groups. And I'd go and perform and people shout spatula at you.
You've got to tell me what the names of your improv groups.
One's called Acting Up.
Love it.
And one's called Battle Acts.
Great.
And Battle Acts are at the Fringe every year.
Yeah.
Have done really quite well. They've been up there for like 9 years. And people just turn up, and because they know we're going to be there and it's going to be different every night. Some people, there was a guy, not last year, year before, 2019, sorry, who came to every single show. And I was like, that is nice, but fucking get alive.
Yeah. Did that person try to wear you as their skin?
Not me in particular, but there was another member of the group that he was particularly fond of. And they're dead now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Do you want a Kyle show?
Yes, I do. I've been working on some stuff, and I've got some stuff in development, and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, we love it. I've got some feedback. No, what? I got some feedback. Not yesterday. A few weeks ago, which was, it's not a yes, but it's not a no, which is lovely. Bullshit.
That's lovely. It's not a yes. It's not a no.
Is it anything? Is it worth telling me?
It's not made up of letters. It's more a mood. It's a feeling.
It's sort of like a colour. Yeah, so I was fuming about that. I don't know what that means. You might as well have not said anything.
Well, that's sort of technically what they did.
Yeah. And then I've got another thing that we've just been asked to write another episode of. We wrote the pilot and sent that in, and they've asked us for another one, which is cool.
That's good.
So
it's not a yes, not a no.
It's not a no. So,
I love that.
Yeah, but at least that way I'm getting money from that one. It's a tough old game.
Can I have some money for that? Well, it's not a yes, nor a no either. But so can I have some money?
Yes, about that money.
As I say, can't confirm yay or nay.
The thing is, I actually need to get home from here, so...
Yeah, no, I hear you, but are you hearing me? Because what I'm saying is, it's not a yes.
Right.
But don't panic, because it's not a no.
I see.
So, off you pop. Thanks for stopping by.
And that's why people steal.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Kyle. Shit, I forgot to tell you something.
Oh, yeah?
Bollocks.
What is it?
No, I should have said it up top. Ugh. God, I hate myself sometimes. I really do. I forgot something that I probably should have at least given you a heads up on.
Right.
I think you'd have suspected it looking at your surroundings. You look like you're in paradise.
Right.
Coincidence.
Yeah. I feel like I am.
You've died. You're dead.
What?
Yeah, man.
You're joking?
Yeah. No, I'm quite serious. Quite serious. Sorry. How did you...
That is annoying.
Is it?
Yeah. I ordered some stuff, and it came after I got here. I ordered some stuff to come away, and it arrived after I got here. So I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to getting back and then trying those. I'm not going to be able to try them now.
What was it you'd ordered?
Just some clothes, some more sunglasses, right. Some fancy shirts.
To be honest, I'm less worried about that now because the fancy shirts and the sunglasses you need now. Like if they've arrived in England, what's the fucking point? So in a way,
they were for this, but they came too late. But now I'll never be able to try them on.
I don't know if that's the worst part of this, but okay, yeah.
All right.
How did you die? I mean, let's check in on that. How did you die?
Bow and arrow.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, flaming bow and arrow.
Ooh.
Right into my head.
In the head?
Yeah, I was walking across. So just like looking around and trying to like explore, see what's around.
Yeah.
I'd walked onto... archery pitch.
You're right, you went on the archery pitch, yeah.
Archery pitch?
Yeah.
Archery court. What's it called? Grounds?
Archery stadium.
Right. The archery muchery.
You've gone into the archery muchery.
Right.
And not your fault, you didn't know. You didn't know there was such a thing. There you are.
No, I was just exploring the place.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why the arrows were on fire. I don't really get what that has to do with
it. It feels targeted to me. That's what I don't like about it. It feels not quite an accident, the fact that they lit the arrows.
Yeah.
But you were just walking through whistling?
I was doing a hop, a skip, and a jump.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because I was having such a great time. And then
they got you in the head mid-jump? Or mid-hop or mid-skip?
Mid-jump, yeah, up in the air.
Really? That's a good shot.
Yeah, up in the air.
That's a good shot for them. I think that's 10 points. You get someone mid-jump.
Really?
So who... Do you know who shot you with a flaming arrow?
They can have my points, but they can never have my sunglasses. I think it was staff.
Just basic staff.
Just some staff of the grounds.
Yeah.
Grounds? Archery grounds? No.
No, the archery marchery.
Archery marchery, yeah.
I think part of why they had targeted you was your complete disrespect for their name, their names and jobs. You'd been calling them staff for a week.
Excuse me, staff? I've literally got a name badge. Okay, rude.
Yeah. I'm not saying I will learn your name, but I'm also not saying I won't. So anyway, staff. So you've been. God, at this age as well, like it just happened. Fuck. Do you worry about death, Kyle?
Yes.
Talk to me. You've come to the right place.
This is very open for me, actually. I actually go to therapy because of death anxiety.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's why my therapy started.
I really appreciate you telling that. But can I ask for a little more? Like, has it always been that way, or was this a sudden new thing that developed? Or
I think there's been like points throughout my life where I've been like, oh shit. This isn't forever, and then get over it. But I think 2018, there was some shift where I didn't really get over it.
Right.
And I was like, what is wrong with me? And I tried loads of stuff, and I stopped drinking for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and I, because I thought it was just like, negativity in the mind that was also fueled by alcohol. Prayed a lot more.
Yeah.
I was just very, like, I was quite lost. And then the final step was like, I'm going to talk to someone about my problems. And then I did it. And best thing I've ever done.
Oh, great.
And now I can just, like, talk about it. And that was, I mean, it was 29 September 2019 I started.
Right, so it's been, okay.
Just over a year. Should have got her a present.
Well, this is a very personal question. You don't have to answer. Mm-hmm. Had something mm-hmm. happened in 2018 that you think kind of triggered that bigger version of it, or was it
looking
general?
Back now, yes, I think is when my dad died. Oh, that's when I was like, oh, shit.
I'm so sorry.
But he had a good run. He had 12 kids. He had 81 years.
12 kids.
He had a great time. Yeah, man. And yeah, I think that is, well, I was told that is what triggered it. And just sort of my understanding of grief, and it was a bit of that mixed with what I had before into a little depressive potion.
Lovely little pot of despair.
Exactly. Yeah, that lasted for way too long. But therapy is the best thing I did. And like, I can't recommend it enough to everyone. Even if you feel fine all the time.
Other than managing it, I suppose, do you actually have a different outlook on death now from all this therapy or not? Is it still the same? What is your outlook?
No, I think it's still the same. I'm just more accepting.
Right.
And I'm encouraged to enjoy life rather than to fear death.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. So in your view, what's your view on what happens when you die? What do you think happens? And is that part of your fear?
Well, I hope. I mean, I grew up in, my nan used to take me to church on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped going for a while. And then I started going by myself. And then I stopped again. And then my mum started going. And now my relationship with church is that I go when it's Christmas.
Right.
But I pray a lot, and I listen to Kanye's Sunday service.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
I love it.
Every Sunday I'm cranking that shit up. And I do believe in afterlife and a heaven and a hell of sorts. And I just hope that I'm a good boy and good enough for Saint, is it Peter? Gabriel. Peter.
I believe it's Peter. Gabriel's the one that tells you you've got a baby in you, doesn't it? I think.
Yes. He's the pregnancy one.
He's the pregnancy saint.
Why isn't there a pregnancy test called Angel Gabriel?
God, such a good idea for a pregnancy test company.
I'll half that with you.
Yeah, done. That's a firm yes for me.
Yeah. Oh, finally.
Yeah. The Angel Gabriel test. God, that's a great idea. And the picture is, it's like wing, it's a cross. A cross means, yeah, it's a baby.
Yes. I can't wait to piss all over that.
that will be it. That will be a spiritual way. I appreciate that.
So hopefully Peter will say, do you know what, mate? You've done all right. Go on in.
Come on in.
And then I'll go to like an Aaliyah concert. That'd be nice.
What do you think the criteria for going to hell is? Do you think it's quite a low bar? Like what?
I really hope that you've got to be a real piece of shit.
Yeah, I hope so.
But also like in church or school or one of them places, I remember reading that someone's definition of hell was just a place without God.
Ah, I like that a lot.
So I was like, yeah, so that's interesting. And also, like, some religions believe in purgatory, some don't. I don't really know what I believe when it comes to that. But I just hope that we all go to a nice place in the sky that looks quite a lot like this.
Yeah. Well, truth is, you have. You're there. You're in heaven. It happened. You passed. Nice. You passed, but barely. I had to have there was a real negotiation because there was some stuff brought up and I was like, I don't think that
right.
It was a different time.
Anyway, they were all doing it.
Anyway, you're in heaven. It's great. It's an Aaliyah concert. Everything's happening. You love it. But everyone's obsessed with you. They want to know about your life. But they want to know about your life through film. And the first thing they ask you is, what's the first film you remember seeing?
It's kind of between two, because I don't know if I finished these films or if these were just films that I just saw that were on or what. I remember seeing Fantasia.
Yeah.
And thinking, like, oh, this is fun. Yeah. So look, there's so much going on. And I had that on VHS. And I'd watched that quite a lot.
Oh, wow.
So Fantasia is in my early memories. Then this film, I'm like, is this... I don't know if it is one of the earliest ones or if it's like... It's just stuck in my memory from being young. But I don't know if it's like one of the first. The Three Ninjas.
Yeah. I remember the Three Ninjas.
Was there... I can't remember if there was an old one before they remade, if there was like a remake.
There was a sequel.
Mm.
There were definitely sequels that came out, and they were like, there was, I think there's a good three Ninja films, and then possibly more direct-to-DVD type ones.
But that, when I think of like watching a film from the beginning to end, that is the one I think of like first.
Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
Did that make you want to be in films or want to be a ninja?
It made me want to kick the shit out of everything in the house.
Yeah.
Do some flips.
What number are you of 12 children?
I'm the youngest. And I also didn't grow up with them.
You're number 12?
Yeah, yeah. There's some of them I didn't meet until 2 years ago.
Wow.
But I mean, out of the 12, some of them are quite shit.
Right, right.
So, like, I'm probably better off without meeting them until
what's the score out of 12? How many good ones?
I'd say 5.
Okay.
5 like really good, like great ones. 5 that I'm like happy to chat to. Anytime they call me, I'll answer. Then there's like how many is left?
There's, 7.
Well, okay, so then there's 4.
Yeah.
That they ring me and I'll wonder what they want. I'll call them back another time.
Okay.
And then there's 3 that are shit.
Really?
And if they rang me, I'd know that somebody else died because that could be the only thing that they're calling me for. And like not interested in them. But they will equally weren't interested in me growing up. So
to be fair, once
look at me now.
Look at you now, dead. Once the 12, the 12th comes along, you're probably a bit like, you know what I mean? Like,
they're like, yeah, we get it.
We get it.
He's
done
busy.
It.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What's the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared?
No, not really. I'm not. I don't really want to pay for it. Also, my mind is... my mind wanders. So I don't want to be stuck on things. Like something that I've seen in a film, I could just like... I know that I'm just going to be thinking about that for days.
Yeah.
But the film that scared me the most is definitely Skeleton Key.
Is it?
Yeah.
With
it terrified me.
Kate Hudson. Is it Kate Hudson?
I definitely cannot remember who was in that. What I do remember is that at the end, when there's the guy who like works in a house no, the granddad or something, and he is his the soul of someone else that's been trapped in that body.
Yeah.
And he can't speak or like communicate, and he's just trapped inside this body that can't do anything. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And that lived with me for far too long. To this day, actually. I think that is the scariest thing possible.
Yeah. She becomes him, right? Or her,
yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And she at the end is sort of like winking, but it's not really her. It's it's the geezer.
Yeah,
that's pretty scary.
That film terrified me.
Yeah, you probably don't want to be scared if your mind is already heavily occupied with death.
Yeah, man.
Horror movies probably aren't your bag, and that's fair.
No. But I like a thriller. I like silly, scary, like Scream. I like that.
Okay.
Where you can just like, you just shout at the TV for 2 hours and go, don't go in there. And then they do go in there.
I told like you not to go in there.
Now look.
Now look what you've done. Well, you've only got yourself to blame.
You're all in bits.
Yeah. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of months.
What's the film that made you cry the most? Are you crying?
Sister Act 2.
Oh, what a nice answer that has never come up before.
I don't actually know what part of it made me... No, I know what part of it, but I don't know why I was crying. I remember it very so... as if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was in my living room, and I was sat on the floor watching Sister Act 2 that was on television, so couldn't rewind it. And... it was the bit where the kid, Bat Boy, I can't remember what his name is in the film, but he really comes out of his shell and he's hitting them notes towards the end in Happy Day, when they're singing Oh Happy Day. And I started crying. Yeah. And I must have been about 6, 7, and I'd never associated crying with anything other than being really sad or scared. And for some reason, I was crying because I was loving it so much. So that was a really new thing for me. But also, I do think it's the first and last time I've cried at a film.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think so.
You haven't cried at a film since you were 6?
No, I don't think so.
Do you cry in life?
No, not much.
So you haven't cried since you were 6?
Oh, no, wait. I've done a couple of funerals.
Yeah,
I've done a couple of funerals, done a couple of weddings.
Banged out a couple of tears.
There's been a few funerals that I've shed a little tear for the mandem. Mm-hmm. One of the mandem being my dad and granddad and uncles, and then some other bits. But it's mostly only been it's only been at really sad events, i.e. death. But not crying at my own death right now, actually.
No, you seem
pretty...
which
is odd.
I think it's because you're delighted you made it to heaven.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think there may have been a breakup that I cried at once when I was like 22, 23.
Why do you think you don't really cry?
I don't know, you know. I mean, I'm quite open with my emotions and stuff, and I feel like I'm quite open and honest. Mm-hmm. But that bit just doesn't really work. Oh, I remember we did a, I'll try and make this short. We did a thing at drama school called Living History, where you have to live through a moment in history where there's conflict. And the whole year group is split into two. Mm-hmm. And some people represent one side of the conflict and some the others. So, like, for example, we'd have the Israel versus Palestine, or the Protestants and Catholics right. in Ireland. Or I was just about to say something that I don't know if it's true, or if it's even, I don't know where this has come from. In my head, yeah. I've got Bosnia.
Okay.
I don't know what's gone on there.
No.
Probably lots, but for some reason that's in my head. And I feel like that was one of the Living History experiences. But we do that, we do 2 weeks of context and solid research, and then you live as these people for 2 weeks, all day, every day, not all day, sorry, 10 to 6 every day for 2 weeks. And it is mental, and it's all you think about, and it's all you dream about, and you you go somewhere very weird.
Yeah.
And I get why they do it, but also I feel like the school needs to consider some aftercare because some people go mad during these things. Anyway, there was playing a 60-year-old man who had 3 daughters and whose wife had been killed. And one of my daughters, on one of the days, because they brief you in the morning and they say, okay, so today is 4 days on from yesterday, or it's been a week, or it's been 6 months or whatever. And you get a brief and you get told what to do, and then they ring a bell and you've got half an hour to get into character and start. And then at the end of the day, they ring a bell and you've got half an hour to come out of character. And a lot of people start going and shouting at trees to vent or whatever. That's the aftercare. You get to shout at a tree. Pick your favorite tree and shout it. Anyway.
Poor trees. Have they been through it now?
Hopefully it's changed since I've been there. Yeah. they're worrying their cousins in other countries are getting torn down. And then they're like, oh, I'm in London, I've made it. And then they just get shouted at by accident. So one of my daughters falls in love with, and it, so we were on the Palestinian side of the role play. Mm-hmm. And one of my daughters falls in love with an Israeli soldier and runs off. And I have never cried like that ever in my life. And like, it was something during drama school that I knew that, like, it was a barrier that I had. Mm. And I think I may have mentioned it once to one teacher. And I think that they really pick up on all the things that you say, because you're learning about yourself and then about others and then about how to put that into characters and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was, like, a big moment for me of, like, bawling.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
This daughter that I've had for a week.
Yeah.
I
mean, look, obviously on the one hand, this sounds absolutely mental. On the other hand, it's fascinating. And I bet it was also fun, really fun.
Yeah, it was.
And did you, the bit I can't quite get my head around is at 6 o'clock when they ring the bell and you all come out of character, did you just go to the pub and go, fucking hell, weird, wasn't it, today when I was...
That today when you nearly stabbed me? there is a. I've got a little little side story where at the time, Isafina is in Debden, and Debden at the time was heavily influenced BNP area, and there had been incidents of people getting attacked on their way from school, on their way home or to the station or whatnot. And there were a few things that happened, and there were two gay guys that had been beaten up because they were holding hands on the high street, and it was terrible. It was really bad. And the police were sometimes around the school and things like that. Simultaneously, there were stories going on within the living history where there were like subplots and there were like loads of like secret things going on, and people were constantly being pulled away to be like told something in their ear and other things that other people weren't aware of. And there was one day I remember, and we were digging, because that's what we did over there. Mm-hmm. We were digging and making a new shelter, and out of the corner of my eye I saw some people in the bushes, and then I was like, there was me trying to be in character and be like, oh, it's the kids, because we've got people that are also, we've got 20-year-olds that are also playing 9-year-olds, and I'm a 20-year-old playing a 65-year-old, and you've got all of that. And a part of me thought, oh, it's maybe just the kids. And then I started thinking about the BNP stuff. I was like, what if it's these guys that have just like seen us all in our like robes and stuff and our headwear and all that, and thought like, do you know what? I'm gonna go and fuck these lot over. Or like whatever. And like, because people have been beaten up and they've been attacked and stuff. And I just like, my mind was going overtime, as it does. And I threw various items into the bush, some which could have potentially been fatal. But yeah, then there was like a timeout, and we were told that like there are things going on, and whatever you saw, you saw. But yeah, that happened.
What, as in the thing in the bush was actors, not BNP?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. But my mind went, these people come to smash out the gap.
Yeah. And I'm going to kill them.
Yeah. So I was screwing up in the bush.
Because I'm 65 and I'm not going down without a fight.
Exactly, yeah. I've come this far. My daughter's just fucked off. I'm human.
I've never cried so much in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not having this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope that they're doing it with more care now. But yeah. I do think it is still something that they should do, but maybe just a bit more carefully.
It's like that Sanford prison experiment, isn't it? I'm
surprised they
didn't all kill each other.
Yeah. Well, we would have if it wasn't for that bell. We were all about to kill each other. Oh, that's Bell.
Bell goes. Right. Off to the pub. You go, pub. What's the film that people don't like? They don't like it. Critically, it's not acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Great answer.
give me that film all day long. Mm-hmm. I'll watch any bit of it. If I turn on that the TV and I see that any part of Mr. and Mrs. Smith is on, I'm sitting down, stopping everything I'm doing, I'm watching that.
Yeah. It's sexy as fuck, that film. And I was thinking about that the other day. Don't know why. I was thinking about Jennifer Aniston and I was thinking, you know, the day...
You can't watch that. Anytime she... she meets anyone called Mr. or Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, it's real. She's triggered. It's very sad. Oh, another Smith, is it? You're all pranking me. No, it's genuinely, it's a very popular name.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Mrs. Smith, that is a real name.
There's 100 people here. You're telling me someone else is called Mrs. Smith? Yeah, yeah. Where's Ashton Kutcher? Come on.
Come on, yeah. Punked, is it?
What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing the film that will always make it precious to you.
I think Death Becomes Her.
Go on.
I was too young to watch that film when I watched it. And I just watched this film and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing. And also, like, I couldn't have got the plot because I was too young.
Right.
So I'm sure I don't know what was going on, but I was really like fascinated by this film, and it's quite quirky and it's a bit like creepy at points, like when she falls down the stairs and stuff and gets up and then her body's all like fucked. Her body's real fucked.
Yeah, it's really fucked.
And all of that stuff, I just loved it. But there was two. There was that film and there was The Man with Two Brains, which I sometimes get confused.
Well, look. Death Becomes Her is a good film. Man with Two Brains is an effing masterpiece.
Yeah.
Man with Two Brains is one of the funniest films ever made. But why is it so special to you?
It was Steve Martin's performance for me. And like how funny he was. And just how silly it is as well. Also, I think it might have been the first time that I'd seen a woman naked in a film. Mm. I was like, what? What's going on? What? Just checking the door to see if my mom's coming in.
What is this magic?
Yeah, it was just a fantastic viewing experience.
That's great. What's the film you most relate to?
In my head,
yes.
This is not true at all, but in my head I've got Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah. Okay. Say no more.
For some reason that just popped straight into my head. Get Rich or Die Trying. I don't know, it's different. I mean, do you know what it is for me? Music films really inspire me to want to do something with my music again.
What music?
And
what you got?
That's how I used to rap.
Did you?
More so before drama school, but I was really into it. I was really passionate about the music. And then I kind of stopped for a while. And then when I watch films like Hustle and Flow that Asha D one. Oh, what's it called? Bloody hell. But there's an Asha D one. What else is a music film? There's a one that came out recently with Anthony Henderson on Netflix. And all these sort of like music journeys, they really inspire me. And so, yeah, I think like Hustle and Flow, I mean, I can relate to it in terms of the passion and trying to make it and trying to make something happen and then getting something and making something good and then trying to replicate that and then constantly like chasing something that you had and just like the determination and the passion and that. However, I'm not a pimp.
Oh, okay. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I should have said that first, sorry.
You should have, yeah, because I was thinking, oh, I'm getting an exclusive here. He's got a stable of women and this should be interesting. But it was just the sort of chasing a dream thing.
Yes, yeah. I'm not him. I had a Cadillac. Yeah. But those journeys, really, yeah, I really like to see those.
You know your thing that you love in Sister Act 2 with a person thinking they can't sing and singing that makes you cry? I fucking love that. And in Hustle and Flow is one of my favourite all-time someone thinks they can't sing scene where he gets her to sing and she sings quietly and he hits her on the stomach and he says, sing from here. And then she sings and the camera goes in like on a zoom. Fuck, it's beautiful. And then when he plays it back to her and she can hear her own voice,
Yeah,
she smiles. Ah, what a scene.
Yeah, love brilliant. It. She's so good as well.
She's so good.
And 8 Mile. 8 Mile, of course, as well. Yeah. All those sort of music things, like, I really relate to those. Just trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
But usually it's a music thing, just because of my passion for music, rather than, like, Goodfellas trying to be a gangster or Donnie Brasco or something like that.
I'd like you to get back into the music, please. It's clear that...
Yeah, I might.
Okay, thank you.
I wasn't half bad.
Obviously, you're not going to do any now, are you?
No.
Yeah. What's the... Obviously, I'm not going to get an exclusive now, am I? No. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen?
Smoking Aces.
Go on.
I just think it's so, like, it's so stylish, it's so cool. Everyone's fit. Alicia Keys is in it.
Yeah.
Like, any of the characters, I could just be like, I want to dress up as them and be them. I think it's a really sexy film. I mean, apart from when everyone's, like, getting shot and stabbed.
It's a lot of shit.
Sounds sexy. Yes.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's also Lucky Lemon 11.
Go on.
I think that film, like, I don't know if this I don't know if this makes sense, but I feel like the dialogue is sexy. I've also, like, I've Googled those guys that wrote that film, and they haven't written anything together since.
Right. Too sexy.
And I... Too sexy.
Too sexy to write anymore.
Yeah.
They were... Their agent called them up and said, I'm sorry, you guys are too sexy. We're going to have to drop you. Same thing happened to Right Said Fred.
Yeah. Fred. We were just... No.
Poor old Right Said Fred. Sorry, guys. You're actually too sexy.
Sorry.
I have to drop you. What?
I loved... That's a film that I'd watch again. Lucky Number 7.
Yeah?
Mm.
Is the subject...
No, I'm saying Lucky Number 7 is a film that I need to see again.
There you go. You only watched the ones you really love.
Yeah.
Basically, your criteria is a bit too sexy. I'll watch it again. There's a subcategory to this question. Troubling boners, yes. Worrying wide-ons. What's the film you found arousing that you thought maybe you shouldn't have?
Right, you're going to have to hear me out when I say this.
Okay, here we go.
When I watched Spring Breakers...
Yes, yes.
I was like, this is like... I mean, the lifestyle that James Franco's character was living was great for him. But looking from the outside in, it's a bit like, it's like dirty and rough and a bit shit.
Mm.
But I felt like it was really like, I mean, hey, they put it all over the billboards, guns and girls. And there's something about that that is like, yeah, man, I'm this guy, people are scared of me and I got these girls. And I was like, I want to live that life. I want to do that. It's a bit like watching Dan Bilzerian's Instagram videos.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Where I'm like, yeah, I want to get on a yacht with all these Instagram models. Yeah, I want to do that. Maybe Spring Breakers isn't the perfect example, but it made me feel a bit like...
No, I think Spring Breakers is one big troubling boner of a film.
Yeah, it is troubling. I love it. And I thought he was really good. He is good. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. He's very good. It's a shame. What's objectively... the greatest film of all time?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That is a top quality answer.
Top quality film.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That and I actually think my top three... Actually, I don't know if this is a question. Is this a little question? What, top three films?
No.
No, okay.
But do you want to say
top three films are Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Rock and Roller, A Goofy Movie.
A Goofy Movie is in your top three. You know, someone did a tweet about A Goofy Movie that made me laugh so much, and the tweet was a Disney exec in the 90s, feet up on the desk, leaning back in their chair with a cigar. Goofy should have a dead wife.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I love that film.
Why does A Goofy Movie touch your heart so much?
I just think, like, all the songs are absolute fucking bangers.
Mm-hmm.
And the story about Max just going on this road trip with his dad, despite that he wants to, like, go to this concert with his friends, and he's got to choose between his relationship with his dad and all his friends, and then he's doing all these shit things that he doesn't want to do. He's camping, and like with that fat pig looking dog. What was he? What was he? The pig dog, Mabel with a camper van.
Stupid fat pig dog.
There's one. There is one part of the film that does make me a little bit sick when the guy, his friend, the one with the glasses, that's like the kind of like good, like chill out, like squirts cheese directly into his mouth out of a can.
Right.
I can't remember what his name is, but he's got that cheese can thing, and that makes me feel sick every time.
Yeah, that's the low point in the Goofy movie.
Yeah.
Love that answer though. What's a film that you can or have watched the most over and over again?
Rock and Roller. Actually, do you know what? It's either Rock and Roller or Nine. Do you remember Nine, the Daniel Day-Lewis film?
Yeah, I remember it very well.
Yeah. It's one of those two. When I was at drama school, we didn't pay TV license. And I had a tiny little television that my mum had warned me about and said that if I do watch live TV on it, the police are going to come and throw me in jail. So I watched the only two DVDs I had, which was Rock and Roller and Nine. And Nine was just like sort of background. But Rock and Roller, I would actually watch every time. And I love it. I love that film. And I'm quite heavily influenced by it, I think.
In what ways?
In like some performances. I just feel like there's so many iconic characters in there. I feel like Mark Strong and that was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the idea of like Mumbles and 1-2 and Gorgeous George. No, that's a different film. What's Tom Hardy's character called in Rock and Roller?
Gorgeous George of the Jungle.
Gorgeous George. Ah, the madness of Gorgeous George. I think it is Gorgeous George. I can't remember. Handsome Bob. Bloody hell. Handsome Bob.
Bloody hell. It's Handsome Bob, of course.
Yeah, and their friendship, but also their criminal activity. But they're just like, they're not perceived to be bad guys at all. They're actually very nice, good guys. They just do crime as a job.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I really love it.
I thought the film Nine is it's quite mad in that it's about a filmmaker who keeps having fantasies about his film, but all his fantasies are of plays, are of stage performances, of dance numbers. And I always think, you're not a very interesting filmmaker because your imagination is entirely based in the on the stage. There's no visual.
You want to get in the theater, mate.
Yeah, I think you're in the wrong game, mate. You want to be doing plays and musicals because you can't visualize a film at any point.
Yeah, big time.
And you're meant to be like one of the great film directors, but you just literally cannot.
Have you ever visualized a film?
Have you seen a film? Because the way you imagine films is plays. You should go to the theater. You'd love it. It's all plays. It's all like that at the theater. Mad film.
And Judy Dench don't mind. She'll make the costume for anything.
She loves it. She'd love it probably more if it's
on stage. She don't care.
Stop dreaming in plays. Weird, isn't it? Weird choice.
Yeah, it is weird. Some good songs in that.
Great song. Listen, and one of Daniel Day-Lewis's maddest performances, like a fun one. It's like he's having fun. He's doing a funny voice. He's having a bit of fun. You go, he's loosened up, isn't he? He's having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
He's like, Mamma Mia. Yeah. Mamma Mia, I cannot visualize a film.
Can you confirm that is a line from the film?
Yeah. Mamma Mia, I cannot finish my film without putting curtains and a proscenium arch over it.
It's a woman from the James Bond films.
She is so pretty. I wonder if she can dance on a stage in a stage formation. We don't like to be negative, so we'll do it quick. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Catwoman?
Very nice.
Halle Berry Catwoman. Although, on the flight here, I watched Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn film.
Yeah.
And I'm not one for turning films off, really. Mm. Even if it's just like average, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll sit through this.
Yeah.
But that one, that had to go.
On a 25 plane minutes as in. Well. Wow.
Yeah. 25 minutes in, I'm like, you're out of here. And I said that, the guy next to me was like, what? No, not you, mate.
I'm talking to Birds of Prey. Don't worry about it. Beat it, Birds of Prey.
Yeah, wow. Real bad. But no, Catwoman, worst, that's the worst one I've ever seen.
I think she'd agree with you, Halle Berry, from what I understand. It's a shame.
Yeah.
You're in comedy. You're very funny. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Good Burger.
Good Burger. Keenan and Kel, the greatest double act of all time.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
there's absolutely. There's a part in that film where a woman comes in, an overweight woman comes in and orders some food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's single-handedly the funniest thing I've ever seen. And that was the first time in my life that I ever cried with laughter. When the camera zooms up in her, on her mouth, of her just going, we have the tomatoes, but I want the extra sauce. Of it. And that finished me. I think I was sick. I think I vomited from how funny that was.
I worry about Kel a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean?
I Google him quite often.
Is he all right? Is he busy? Because I, you know, Keenan's amazing.
Yeah, he's fine.
I just don't like them being not together.
Yeah. Because there were a lot of rumours that he died as well, weren't
it? Yeah. And I think it was very mean.
It's like the Jackie Chan one.
What Jackie Chan one?
Big time. You know that like, people are always like, oh, Jackie Chan's dead. Wait, you don't know this?
Every day.
Where did you grow up, Brett?
Morning. What's happened? Jackie Chan's dead. Jackie Chan's dead again. Oh, fucks.
Because he does his own stunts, isn't it? So everyone's like, oh, one day... He'll take a stunt too far.
Yeah.
It's a very believable stunt.
So, Kaya, you've been phenomenal. I've loved this. Absolutely loved this. You've been brilliant. This has been a treat and a pleasure. However, when you were strolling about in Guadeloupe, just having a stroll, looking around, having spent a week calling everyone that worked, frankly, near you, not for you, not even part of the hotel you were staying in, you called them all staff. And you didn't realize that all these people, A, had names, had different jobs. Like, there was a guy that was like, he's the mayor of the town you're in, and you called him staff. Like, but you had just such...
He's staff to somebody.
You had such little respect for all the people that worked around you. And they, what you didn't know about the Guadeloupeans is that they play a lot of archery, and they were all on the archery muchery, and you were wondering about, and... Ironically, for someone whose favourite film is Man on Fire, whose favourite opening sequence is Ghost Rider, Man Whose Head Is on Fire, you'd think you'd enjoy this, but there you were. You wander onto the archery mastery, and you get shot by accident, wink, wink, in the head. You were doing a hop, skip and a jump. You were mid-jump, and an arrow, which unusually for them, so they don't usually do this, but they had set it on fire, got you straight in the head. And your head went on fire, much like a Ghost Rider. You fell to the ground. And I would describe the atmosphere as a celebration from all the staff. Jumping around, dancing. I hear this noise. I'm like, what's going on over there? Sounds like a party's happening. I head over. I think there's a... I mean, this is quite dark, but I think there's like a bonfire. I think there's some sort of... Something like just people seem so excited, and you get nearer, and it's you, your head's on fire. and I go, what the fuck? Come on, guys. And I put you out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's all right. I only had a bottle of water, so it took ages. And if I'm honest, I ended up having to stamp on quite a large parts of you to get the last bits of lanes. And because of the amount of bones, a lot of it, like, crumble is I won't lie, it wasn't pretty, but anyway, I've got a coffin with me, so I start to pack you in the coffin, but you're in a dreadful state, and there's like party poppers on you that have stuck to you, and there's like, you know, a literal box of the celebrations chocolates have been chucked all over you. Anyway, I managed to pack you in the coffin. But it's absolutely round in there with all the celebrations and hats and party poppers. There's only enough room in this coffin for one DVD that I can slide in the side with you to take over to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night, and one night it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone on the other side, Kael?
I'm taking Training Day.
One of the best films.
Yeah.
You know one of my favourite scenes in all cinema history? First scene between Denzel and Ethan Hawke in the cafe in Training Day. Trying to read my paper. Absolutely love the dialogue in that scene.
It's beautiful.
Great answer. They're going to have a lovely time and no one's brought it. I think after the way you went out, people are going to be delighted they did let you into heaven.
Thank you. I think so too.
And now you're dead and I can take our business idea of a St. Gabriel pregnancy test.
Oh, man. Will you donate 50% to a charity of my choosing?
Yeah, what's your charity?
My bank account.
Your bank. I like that too. That's a very lovely. They do a lot of good work actually. Kael,
yes.
It's not a yes, and it's not a no. it's a thank you. I've had a lovely time, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Have a lovely death. Good day. Goodbye. So that was episode 135. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and videos with Kael, and hear more of his stuff, more stories, more openings and closings, film that changed his life, that sort of business. Head to the Apple Podcast and give us a 5-star rating if you would. And instead of writing about the show, you don't need to write about the show. Instead, write about the film that means the most to you and why. It's a lovely thing to read. I do read them. And often they make me cry, they make me laugh. They're fascinating. It also helps with numbers. Maureen appreciates it. I appreciate it. Everyone is appreciated. Thank you. And thank you for listening to this. Thank you so much to Kael for giving me his time. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lytham for the photography. Come join me next week for another brilliant, amazing, wonderful guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet because they're all very special, aren't they? And it's a nice surprise, isn't it? I think. Sometimes I tell you, sometimes I don't. I've stopped telling you recently. I think it's better to just surprise you because I think it's a treat, isn't it? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I'm not telling you. All right. I'm keeping it to myself. So that is it for now. In the meantime, please have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.